I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. As I run this race to stay on the path, no matter what I face, Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change. Roar it from the start. Who can pull a clipping out of the walking heart? Jesus, hallelujah! The same word with me. What I want to be, I'm not. What I want to be, but I want to be. What I used to be, I'll keep pressing to the mark of the good in Christ Jesus. To be God wants me to be. In my life, it's a two-horse race. The path and the right, but I must keep this way. This race, the choice is yours. The one you think of most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish his word. Is true. Oh, Lord, I will.
Let's have the youth choir now.
Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But one day, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the good. Christ Jesus, Lord. God wants me to be. For to be. God wants me to be.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
To me.
I was born to be in this day. So I'm staying on my knees, patiently waiting on my knees for your outpouring on my knees. Oh Lord, I need you. And me to run this race, and I will give my life to Him, perfected without sin. I can't do this on my own. Blood put flesh on these dry bones. If it takes this life to give, then for you I will live. I need you, Lord. And when you come, you will meet me on my knees. I'm in anticipation on my knees. I'm waiting for you, Jesus. I am an empty vessel on my knee. I've read the scriptures in the Bible about the mighty Gentile warriors, the painful desire of Hannah, and the fearless move of Esther. Lord, I believe that they were true, and the token they received. But what about me? I know my battles are all won. That's why I sing my song. I know blessings are all mine, but it will just take time. So like Elijah, here I stay, with faith in such a way to know you'll come. 'Cause when you come, you will meet me on my knees in consecration. I'm on the threshing floor
on my knees.
Oh Lord, I need you
on my knees.
I'm waiting patiently
on my knees.
I need the Holy Spirit
on
me
on my knees.
Lord, I'm not moving
on my knees.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful song. It's good to see Brother Jose singing. Junior, I could hear him clearly. Amen. I'm really happy to see him singing. Amen. It's good to influence one another. Amen. Before Sister Bibi comes, hey, what do we sing now? Whew. It's hard now. Let's sing that song, Rock of Ages. Those are still the songs, amen.
Rock of Ages. Oh, when you hide my soul.
Amen.
Il me conduit douces pensées, repos pour mon âme lassée. En tous les sons, man. l'ennemi s'enfuit quand pas la main Christ me conduit. Il me conduit désormais. Sombre nuit, je ne crains point, il me conduit. Il me conduit, il me conduit. Désormais pour lui, je vais vivre. Fide, je vais suivre les bons bergers qui me conduisent. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace victories won. In this cold wave, I will not flee, since God to Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. He's faithful for all who be, for by his hand, he leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand, he leadeth me. He's faithful for all I will be, for by his hand, he
Amen. Let's sing a chorus while the Sunday school children come. That's the last one. There were a lot of songs today, by the way. And you remember, I was supposed to sing Friday, but I thought, no, it's okay. Give the other people a chance. So if I was also gracious, so those who weren't called, when you see me outside, don't be angry. Let's sing that John was in the spirit while the Sunday school children come.
John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Whatever's from heaven, this is my answer. I love for and for me it was. Meaning and the end, Lord, I live forevermore. I live forevermore. I live here.
deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank you, saints. Let's go into his presence. That's where we belong. Amen. In your presence, that's where I am. In your presence, you are my love. In your presence, in the cliffs of the rock, in your presence, O God.
I want to go this morning.
I want to go where the rivers cannot
overflow me.
Where I come and
by the road,
I want to hide.
In your presence, in your presence,
that's where I am.
In your presence,
where am
I not? In your presence,
that's where I am.
Touching your grace,
I have done the love.
Brother Joel's asking for prayer. He cannot attend service today. Let's keep him in prayer. Those are real wonderful items today. Sweet, wonderful. To see young people, to see the youth. Our sister sharing the items, having more people wanting to contribute. It's wonderful to do something for the Lord. That's a blessed thing. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 from verse 18. We'll read 18 and then we'll skip to 21. Genesis 2, 18, and then we'll get on to 21 up to 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let's also read Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another." May the Lord bless us. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you that you've given us grace to come once again into your house. Thank you for every expression that has come up unto thee upon this day. Praying your blessing upon each person that has laid themselves aside. And Father has had a desire to come to lift up your name, Lord, and to minister to you and to your people upon this day. Grant them your special blessing, Lord. And Father, as you've granted us mercy to be here, Lord, we think of our brother Joel who can't be here. We pray that you'd minister to him where he is. That Father, you would sustain him and strengthen him. And be with him, we'd pray. And Father, as we approach your word as well, Father, just so needy of thee, that you would lead and guide and help us upon this day, that you'd help every soul, that you'd bring us into that place, that Father, we may be fertile ground, good ground, that as the seed would go forth, that it may bring forth of its own kind. Father, grant your unction upon this day, grant your anointing, grant your blessing, grant your mercy. Father, drive back every work of darkness. Father, establish your kingdom. Father, make us better and wiser in the things that we do. Better equip us and establish us. And be glorified, we pray. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to start something today which we'll never finish today. So by the grace of God, we'd like to finish it next week. Today we're going to look at something to do with relationships. And we're going to look maybe a little bit of the theory, in a way, behind what you want to show next week, which is the practical outworking of something. You know, relationships are very, very important things, and especially the family. We're fellowshipping with some saints the other day about, you know, just how much Satan's great attack is on the family. Because and any relationship, any godly, virtuous relationship, it has to attract the attention of the devil, and he'll fight it, because you're only as strong as your relationships. No, a church is only as strong as its relationships. It's only as strong as the families. It's only as strong as the relationship between people. You know, a church without relationships isn't a church. It's just a gathering of people. But with the right relationships, it's a very, very powerful body. No, when everybody's ministering to everybody else. But Satan's primary attack, as we've seen before, is on the family. In this age that you're living in, even the fundamental makeup of the family, which has been traditional for ever since Eden, is under attack. Amen. Now, every single aspect of family life is under attack. And we as believers, we're not immune from these things. Amen. Now, just as much as if you lived in Goshen and there was the plagues of Egypt, if you didn't apply the blood yourself to your house, now, no matter how much you knew all the theory of it, you know, you knew about the blood, you knew about the prophet, you knew about the lamb, but if you yourself didn't take the things that had been ministered to you in that age by, you know, Moses, the very revelation, the tools that you needed, and applied them for yourself. What would happen to your home would be exactly the same as happened in the homes of the Egyptians.
Amen.
Yeah, and I've seen that. And just in discussing with different saints, you find that different families, they start having problems, relationships, people start having problems. And I thought, you know, we were speaking with Brother David the other day, you know, just speaking about having different people maybe late in the year to come to speak about family issues, you know, bringing in the big guns to come and speak about these things. But while we wait for the big guns, I thought we don't even have time to wait for the big guns, because some of these things need to be addressed now. So I thought this week and next week, we'd like to focus on the family a little bit and have a look at this issue of relationships based on the message. And what we're trying to do here is take the resources that have been given to us. Now, we've been given very, very powerful resources. We really have the blood on the door. We have the capability ourselves to apply the blood. And this blood is very real. It's the bleeding word. And the bleeding word, if it's applied the right way, friend, there's nothing that the devil can do. It doesn't matter how much he can huff and he can puff, but he can't blow the house down if the blood is on the door. You know, he might try this and try that. He may have his realm and his domain out there. But as long as we fortified behind the word, and that's how the prophet says we need to apply the token. You know, we have the token, but we need to apply the token. Yeah, and you'll see as we go along that sometimes it's a lot harder than it sounds. Now, especially on the issues of family, especially on marital things, especially on dealing with children, especially problems between husbands and wives, or even relationships between brethren, because these principles, they hold true in any relationship. Now, you can apply these, but you'd like to focus mainly on the marriage relationship here to try to find out, you know, what is this assault that Satan brings? And you know, how can we really, really be wise in the spiritual sense to be able to withstand whatever the devil brings? Yeah, because we know that every single home at some stage, it gets shaken. You know, there's circumstances and situations. And so I thought we'd just have a look at that. So the title we'd like to look at is, we've got some slides to use as well. We want to look at beyond the honeymoon. You know, when things go beyond the honeymoon. You know, so that's the real time now. You know, the honeymoon isn't the real marriage, but marriage is beyond the honeymoon. So this is what you really want to understand is, how do we handle things beyond the honeymoon? Because, friends, let's be honest, this age doesn't know how to do it.
Amen.
That's why divorce is absolute epidemic. And the only reason they say that divorce rates are going down now is because people have given up on marriage.
Amen.
It's the truth. Amen. They say people have given up on marriage. People just decided it's better to try before you buy. You know, it's better just live together before you get married. And in the end, people don't get married.
Amen.
Because they've seen the failing of marriage in the societies that we're living in.
Amen.
But friends, we don't want it to be like that with us. And we don't want to be visited with those same plagues that are around us. You know, in our situations, and it doesn't have to be like that.
Amen.
But as with anything, we need to approach it the right way. We really, really need to have an understanding of why God does certain things and why He expects us to do certain things. And then you'll find that His word to us is really a defense. So when you have a look at troubles that come between relationships, especially troubles in the home, troubles between parents and children, especially children get to teenage years. You know, you have the honeymoon years with your children when they're young. You know, it's so easy and they're so cute. You know, they obey and they listen. But then it gets into more troublous times. It gets into more challenging times. And then you find that maybe the skills that you were trying to use, the tactics which you were using maybe in younger years, you find maybe it doesn't work anymore. You know, so you've got to upskill yourself. You know, you've got to really, you know, update your faith, like Brother Crosby was preaching that time, to try to find the revelation, the word, the tactics. Yeah? God's provided resources to meet that current situation.
Amen.
You know, so you find that with teenagers. And the same in marriages as well. You know, you get to that certain stage in any relationship. You find people come to church at first. There's a honeymoon period. Now, when people come to church, everything's perfect. Everybody's an angel. They've never heard singing like that. They've never met a message like this. It's just a matter of time, like with any relationship, that the honeymoon period comes to an end. And then reality sets in. Now, the honeymoon period isn't reality.
Amen.
We'll see that. You know, that time that when people are in love with, you know, emotional love, that first love that you get in your relationship, that's not the real thing of a marriage. Amen. You know, marriage comes after that. Amen. You know, once that starts to die down, then you start really working at establishing a marriage now. Yeah. And there's not many people in this generation, well, there's very few that are willing to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. Amen. You know, people in Hollywood, they want to get married, they want to have all the emotional love, which is a wonderful thing. You know, they want to be living next to the gates of heaven, you know, in that warm dimension. You know, when you first get into a relationship with somebody and, you know, you just, you tuned out of this world and you tuned into another realm. And then you think it's going to last forever, but it doesn't last forever. Amen. And then things come down to a reality now. Now, it's what you do with the reality after that. Amen. The vast majority of the world now, they give up on marriage at that stage. Amen. They say, this isn't what I thought that it was going to be. You know, I thought it was always going to be, you know, the birds singing and the sun shining brightly and, you know, writing love songs for each other and sending each other flowers every day. And all those things are good. You know, but there's a certain time where, you know, you get to the stage that a certain type of a reality sets in. People come down from that particular realm, that particular aspect of that relationship. And you get yourself to a stage now that it's not what you thought that was going to be. Unless you're careful. Yeah, and in any relationships like that, you know, when you first get into a friendship with somebody, you know, you've never met somebody so good, you want to spend a lot of time with that person, and then after a while you start finding out that that person has certain characteristics that, you know, in your initial zeal, in the initial joy of that relationship, you know, you didn't really recognize some of the faults and the things that are incompatible with you and the things that maybe annoy you when you stay with that person for too long. Yeah, and there's two different ways we can handle things at that stage. Well, there's three different ways. The first way is we can exit the relationship, which is the preferred way in Laodicea. You know, just exit the relationship. The second thing that you can do, you can just accept things the way that they are. And say, well, you know, if this is the way that it's going to be, if this is how I'm going to have to live for the rest of my life, that's the way that it is. And many people do that. Or there's the third way, which is to find the answer in the Word. Amen. You say, when you find the answer in the Word, because the message of every age has the answer to every situation in that age. Amen. So it's got to minister to us in every single realm that we are. But we need to just bear in mind, if you put the slide, I think this is working, you said, bro. Yeah, so if we bear in mind that we are threefold beings. So when the Lord came and said to Adam, it's not good for him to be alone. Why was that? You think of Adam. Adam was in a situation, he had a perfect oneness with God. So inside of his soul, Adam, the man was perfectly satisfied. But God looked down at his son and said, this man, he doesn't have a wife. Yeah? It's not good for him to be in this condition. So obviously the realm that God was thinking about when he gave Adam his wife wasn't the realm of the soul. Because the realm of the soul, Adam was already in the image of God. He's already a son of God. Now he's already satisfied perfectly with God. But there's something else. There's something else in his threefold makeup that there's a need. Now he needs to be ministered to in this realm. And obviously it's going to be the realm of the Spirit. You know, that's really the realm. And this is the realm that really marriage is aimed at. Especially the realm of affection, which is the realm of your emotion. The emotional realm. We're emotional creatures. We have the realm of our emotions. You know, so the relationships that we have, parents to children, husband to wife, wife to husband, it's mainly an emotional relationship. It's mainly dealing with the emotions of the other person. You know, you're ministering into the emotional realm of that person. Amen. You know, but where the problem comes in, just to say the end from the beginning, is that so many times we speak a different emotional language to the person we're married to. Now, the ways that we need to be ministered to in our emotions, because of the way we were born, our genetics, our personalities, the things we've been through, we have certain needs in our emotional realm that we're looking for someone to minister into that realm. So we think because we are like that, they must be like that as well. So we now try to minister to our wife or to our husband according to the way we want them to minister to us. And we find that the very way we're ministering to them isn't ministering to the very need they have in the emotional realm. Amen. We haven't really discerned or contacted their spirit to find out, but no, why did God allow me to marry this person? What does God want me to minister into this person's emotional realm? Many times we don't go into thinking that deep. No, we just look at ourselves and say, you know, I need this, you know, and I need that, and you know, I want my wife to treat me like this, so I'm going to treat her the same way. So I think if I do this to my wife and I give her a lot of gifts, I think she'll give me a lot of gifts in return. You know, because that's the thing which we want. And then you find out you give gifts to your wife and she doesn't really appreciate gifts. Because that's not the emotional need that she has inside of her life. Maybe she wants your presence more than she wants your gifts. Maybe she wants time with you. Or maybe she wants you to speak to her more. Because the emotional need she has, maybe from the days of her youth, the way she grew up, she never had in a relationship with her father or siblings or stuff. Maybe she was deprived of that particular thing. So she's got this emotional need inside of her. You know, and she's waiting for you to minister to that emotional need. And you're looking at her and you're waiting for her to minister to your emotional need. And you're speaking at different frequencies here. You don't have a harmony. You're not really understanding each other. You know, so once the honeymoon period's over and you get into the home and now you have to start dealing with each other as individuals now. You know, not just the romantic, no longer just a person who's your lover in a romantic sense, but somebody now that you have to build a relationship with. Friend, we're going to need some wisdom here now. We're going to need some grace in this here because the vast majority of people never connect at this level here. So the relationship, it gets to a stage that it becomes either, like I say, the person says, my husband's never going to understand me. My wife will never understand me. Or you say, no matter what I do to my wife, she never seems to appreciate what I'm doing. You see, if we get to that kind of a situation, and to the world, what do? Then they start looking outside of marriage. They say, look, I'm not getting what I'm looking for here. Let me go and look somewhere else. But you know that statistically, second marriages fail more regularly than first marriages. And third marriages fail more regularly than second marriages. So it's not changing partners. It's not trying to jump out of the situation that you find the solution here. It's that if God put us together, yeah, there's a reason and a purpose that He put us together. And if we're not discerning and understanding the real purpose of marriage, what is the real purpose that He's put us together for? We can miss the very essence of what it's all about.
Amen.
We can. And I think that is why Laodicea is so shallow in its understanding of what marriage is about. Our parents, our generation before us, they had a deeper understanding of this. They understood that, you know, marriage wasn't there just to please yourself. No, that marriage was a commitment. It was a lifelong commitment. There was a deeper purpose in marriage than just wanting someone to meet your needs. You know, your current needs that were there. And that's why they would stick it out more. But in this generation, it's an accepted thing just to, let's move on. And a person moves on to the next relationship and friends. But as a believer, would a believer ever be satisfied with that?
No.
Do you think a believer can ever be satisfied with the thought of divorce? That should be a foreign word to a believer. Yeah, you've admitted absolute defeat. How can you as an overcomer in Laodicea not be an overcomer in your marriage? No, you want to be an overcomer to sit on the throne. What are you overcoming? What's the biggest challenge of life is your home. You don't have any closer relationships than your wife and your children, your husband and your children. So surely when we're going to be overcomers, no, this is going to be the main realm that we need to overcome in. And if you really want to be strong as a body and as a church, we need to overcome in this realm.
Amen.
Yeah, but you know that overcoming, it means you've got to roll up your sleeves sometimes.
Amen.
That means it's got to be some sacrifice. It's got to be some perseverance. It's got to be input put in.
Yes.
You know, when you get into those rocky periods. But you know, we need maybe to understand this a little bit better, the way that the Lord made us, so that we can understand how do we face up to these things when we've moved beyond the honeymoon. Now, this thought here, I got it from this quote. Okay, let me just put this quote. So, this is the battleground. The prophet says the battleground is in the mind. That's not your soul. That's your spirit.
That's right.
So, that's your spirit realm. So, here's a man and a woman. Yeah, here's a father and a child. Here's a husband and a wife. Whatever that you want to put this relationship as. But the real battleground is in the spirit. It's in that realm of memory, of emotions, the affections, yeah? The realm of reasoning. It's that kind of a realm, the emotional realm. It's that realm of the mind, the realm of the human spirit. This is where the real battleground's going to be. You know, so we need to understand that battleground a little bit. But I took it from this one here, when the prophet said to Billy Paul, when Billy Paul was having problems in his marriage. Now, I really thought of that, and I said, this is an amazing thing. The prophet said to Billy Paul as counsel to him as to how to overcome problems in his home, let the Holy Ghost that abides in you. So, here was a man who had the Holy Ghost in his soul. So, in his soul, all was well. Yeah, Billy Paul was doing well in his soul. He had the Holy Ghost. He's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He's ministering to his with his father. He's getting out there. He's playing his predestined part. You know, so in the realm of his soul, all was well in the life of this guy, Billy Paul, Brother Branham's son. But the prophet says, let the Holy Ghost that abides in you project that love, and you won't have those troubles. So where the problem was, he had the resource. He had the Holy Ghost in him. He had everything that he needed, but he didn't know how to project it. His wife obviously was having needs. And she's having emotional needs, whatever it was. I doubt his wife was having spiritual needs. I don't think that she was having spiritual needs. That was the emotional needs. It was the things that come between a husband and a wife. So his wife has these needs. He has a very spiritual man. He's got the Holy Ghost. He's got a prophet as a father. Friends. He has the, friends, we have the prophet in book and tape form. He had the prophet as his father. He could speak to his father in the car. He could speak to his father any time of the day. The first thing he used to do in the morning, he used to phone his dad. Even before he would speak to his wife. Amen. That's how close he was with the prophet. But he hadn't yet learned now how to take the resources that he had to minister them into the real life situation that he had in his home. Amen. And that was what was causing the conflict. It was obviously the way, I'm sure Billy Paul thought he was meeting the needs of his wife. I'm sure he thought, look, I'm doing my best. I mean, what does she expect of me? You know, we all end up thinking like it as men sometimes. What does he expect of me? You know, that kind of a thing. Yeah, because they were obviously tuned into a different frequency here. Now, maybe he's trying to answer questions she doesn't have. He's trying to meet a need, which isn't the pressing need that she has at that time. And he's doing his best. He's being sincere, saying, but Dad, I bought her flowers last week. She didn't want flowers. She must have had something deeper inside of her than just needing flowers. Yes, I don't know what. He never says what the problem was. But you can see straight away from this that it's not as simple as it sounds.
Amen.
It's not as simple as just, I put it down in my notes that the thing you realize quickly is that when the prophet says fellowship is two fellows in a ship, you start realizing that real fellowship is a lot deeper than just two fellows in a ship. Because if the two fellows in the ship aren't tuned into the same frequency, aren't understanding each other, it's not fellowship. You know, two people in a home doesn't make a marriage. It doesn't make what God wanted a marriage to be. Because if you're not operating at the same frequency, like the prophet would say, if you're not contacting somebody's spirit, yeah, that was the key. If you're not really understanding what is the deep need that that other person has, and if that person is not really considering you and trying to understand you and trying to say, no, what does my husband really need at this time? You know, why did God put us together? What am I supposed to contribute into his life? And if the husband's not looking at the marriage like that, you say, but what am I supposed to be contributing into the life of this daughter of God that he's given me?
Amen.
Friends, we really bash our heads together for quite some time. We do. And we all have experienced it. In our sincerity, you know, and we tried this and that. And now there's all the advice you get from other people, which is good. But friends, your home's not the same as mine.
Amen.
You know, so exactly what worked for you, maybe not going to happen, work for me.
Amen.
And the problems you have with your children, I'm sure they're not going to be the same as I had with mine.
Amen.
So you can give me principles, but as sons and daughters of God, it goes beyond just the catchphrases.
Yes.
It goes now down to, you know, when the rubber meets the road, getting down to the nitty gritty and saying, let's roll up our sleeves here and let's get down to work and find out, you know, how do we connect once again here? How do we connect in this situation? Because when the Lord designed relationships, there's certain relationships that he's designed to minister to our souls. That's why he gives ministry. That's why he sends the prophet, the message of the hour. You know, primarily to turn the hearts of the people, the souls. You know, so you come to church, what for? So your soul will be fed.
Amen.
You know, that spiritually speaking, your spiritual health will be looked after. That's what you're wanting. You're wanting to be healthy spiritually. So you need something to minister to your soul. So God has designed, in the way that He provides for all of our needs, He's provided church for that. He's provided a message. He's provided ministry. He's provided brothers and sisters. He's provided the body of Christ to minister to the soul, primarily. Obviously, it spills over into other aspects as well. But your spiritual health comes about through God-given resources that He ministers to us. And if you want your soul to be healthy, you need to discern those resources.
Amen.
You need to be able to use those resources, approach them properly, and apply them in your life.
Amen.
Now, you can sit in church and die spiritually. Many
Amen.
People do.
Amen.
You know, you can die on the doctor's doorstep. Why? Because you haven't yet learned to use the divine resources that have been given to you to minister to that particular realm.
Amen.
Now, when we're speaking of the realm of the spirit, we're speaking of someone's emotional health, not their spiritual health.
Amen.
You can be healthy spiritually and not emotionally well.
Amen.
The prophet was emotionally, was spiritually perfectly well in standing in the gap, but he had problems in his emotions, friends.
Amen.
People had been speaking against him and all the things that he'd been going through. And in his emotions, things weren't going well.
Amen.
In his relationships with those other people, obviously the devil had come in and attacked him in that.
Amen.
And maybe if you take it back, all the way back to when he had his father. I mean, the prophet never had a loving father, friends. His father was hard on him. In many ways, his father was cruel. His father was a cruel man. I mean, would you make your young child, yeah, pack water backwards in between his 5, 6 years old like that, taking water so you can go and cool your whiskey stills, and your son's crying and saying, please, daddy, my friends, I finally got some friends, and they've invited me this afternoon to go with them fishing at the pond. And you would say, I don't care about your friends. I'm distilling whiskey tonight. I've got a new fresh batch coming on. You forget about your friends. You can go with your friends another time. Now, to you and I, maybe you had a loving father. Now, some people didn't. I had a real loving father. You know, so, and if we bring it into this kind of a realm, friends, I had a loving father, which gives me a big advantage on being a loving father.
Yeah.
It gives me a big advantage.
Amen.
I don't have an emotional deficiency in that realm.
Wow.
You know, so to my children, I know what it is to be a loving father. I don't know what it is not to be a loving father because I had a loving father.
Amen.
But to somebody who didn't have a loving father,
Amen.
When now they're in a home situation and they've got children, they're at a disadvantage now.
That's
you know, they're going to need some emotional help there. They're going to need some ministration into that particular realm. They may be perfectly well in their soul. They may be so filled with the Spirit of God. But they've got stuff, the prophet says, you get it from the human grab bag. You know, a lucky dip. You've got things you inherited through your genealogy. You know, certain characteristics and traits. You've got baggage that you're bringing with you from, you know, your upbringing. Maybe you were bullied as a young boy. Now, maybe you were abused in the days of your youth. Now, there's so many things that we go through. And friends, it leaves scars.
Amen.
It leaves effects inside of us.
Amen.
You know, but when you get together in a home now, you know, I know my baggage I had to bring.
Mm.
Yeah? Because that's my life.
Mm.
But I don't yet know the baggage of the other person who's coming into the relationship.
Amen.
The other things they've got inside of this realm.
Mm.
Those places where they maybe have, you know, not so healthy in that spiritual realm, that part of the emotions there, because of the things they've been through.
Amen.
But we just look at one another when we're in the honeymoon period to say, but this is perfect. My wife is perfect. And she looks at me and says, this is just the man, you know. This is what I dreamed of all my life. Yeah. And then when now the chemistry of love, when the emotional side starts to calm down after 2 years or so, which is the normal time that you have that like obsession of love. You know, that love where all you think about is that person. I mean, you have an obsession. Now, when you fall in love with somebody, we all know what it's like. You'll just be thinking of that person. At work, you're not productive. At school, you're not productive. Because you're thinking all the time. You wonder, people wonder why you're looking out the window all the time. Now you're having far off thoughts like that. You know, your time. You You sleep 2-3 in the morning speaking to that person.
Yes, sir.
Friends, the songs they say, I'll climb the highest mountain. I'll cross the widest sea. And it's true in that part of life.
Amen.
But then what happens beyond the honeymoon? What happens beyond the honeymoon? Now we're no longer prepared to climb the highest mountain for that person anymore. Then we don't want to cross the widest sea. Now something's changed here.
Amen.
And we need to understand that.
Hallelujah.
And friends, it needs us to be responsible on this.
Amen.
You know, we need to face up to our responsibilities here. This age doesn't like responsibility.
Amen.
They don't want the marriage vow of until death us do part.
Amen.
No, through rich or through poor, through sickness or through health. They don't want that.
Amen.
No, let the wife get a little bit old. He's out with his secretary now. Look what happens to all these big film stars and all these, you know, the big people of society. But to a believer, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. But we've got these things that we're bringing together into a home as two separate individuals. You know, and so these relationships, yeah? Now, so many of the problems that we find in any relationship are simply symptoms that the other person in the relationship isn't ministering to our emotional need. It's as simple as that. If I'm not ministering to the emotional need, the deep need within the veil of my wife, yeah, there's going to be symptoms come up. Yeah, that's not, the symptoms are not the disease. The symptoms are the outward manifestation of the disease.
Amen.
You know, so if there's spiritual sickness in the spiritual health there, yeah, there's some problem emotionally there. Now, your wife is looking for a certain something from the relationship. And you and your sincerity, not knowing that she's looking for that in the relationship, because you're not looking for that particular aspect in the relationship yourself, because you're an individual, you're different than her. You might be wanting something totally different. Some people, they want someone to always be touching them. That's one way in a relationship that certain people are made. Just as much as we have different temperaments, we have different needs emotionally. So some people, they always want to be holding hands. That's a sign of love. No, they want you to always put your arm around them. They want you to kiss them. You know, it's like more touchy-feely kind of a thing. You might not be that kind of a person. You might say, I don't really want to hold somebody's hand all the time. Not realizing that maybe that's the very thing that your wife is wanting all the time. That's what she wants. Because her way of understanding love, because of the way she is when somebody expresses to her in a more physical way, that's an expression of love to her. You see. But you might think, no, I'm the gift-giving sort of a guy. Not that I am, but... yeah, and you say, no, I'm going to give her chocolates every week. That's going to really, really show her that I love her. I'm going to give her flowers. Now, when it comes to anniversary, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And then now you're trying to minister something to her, but that's not what she wants.
Amen.
And then you're wondering to say, but hey, she doesn't appreciate the things that I give her. And you get yourself in a cycle here if you're not careful, because now you think, okay, if she doesn't appreciate what I'm doing for her, I'm not going to appreciate what she does for me. And then when she now tries to express love in her way, and she wants to come to hold hands, or she wants to come to embrace you in some way, then you know, no, you didn't like my flowers. You see, and you get yourself in a situation, friends.
Amen.
You get yourself in a situation that you're in trouble if you're not careful.
Amen.
And then in the end you start saying, but okay, I tried. Let me focus on church. Or let me focus on youth. Or let me focus on other aspects of my life. I think on this one here, things aren't going to change. And you accept the status quo the way that it is. No. Let's never accept the status quo.
Amen.
Because every marriage, now really this is a key, every marriage, if God has brought you together, has the potential to be a masterpiece.
Amen.
That's God's design in bringing you together. He wants you to build it to a masterpiece.
Amen.
But just as much as the statue of a perfect man, faith itself isn't enough. You've got to build on the faith. There's got to be self-control. There's got to be temperance, patience. There's got to be other things built on that. And those things aren't the exciting sort of things sometimes. You know, when the Lord's developing patience inside of your life, is it exciting?
No.
No, it's not that. But faith is. Virtue. My, we all love to have virtue, and other people come and fellowship, and you minister and minister virtue to people, or someone comes and they, you know, you fellowship with them, they get healed like with Jesus, just by touching the hem of your garment. I mean, there's certain parts of the stature of a perfect man that, you know, that's wonderful things to have. No, that's like, but there's the other areas there of development now. Of developing character on the stature of a perfect man, which is what most people don't want. No, they just want the prosperity gospel this day, that if I just confess that Jesus is Lord, He gives me everything that I want. That's not true.
Amen.
No, He gives you everything you need. He doesn't give you everything that you want. And many times what you need isn't what you really need, isn't what you think that you need. He knows what you need, and He starts taking you now through a process to establish a real time-tested relationship with you. And if you don't know Him and understand what He's trying to do, you'd be like Israel in the wilderness.
Amen.
And you say, what's the worst? Why should we serve this God? Let's go back to the gods of Egypt. Hey, we thought everything was going to be sweet and smooth, but now the honeymoon period's come to an end, and look at this now, there's no water. Yeah. There's no milk in the fridge. There's no food for the family to eat. The wife, she says, there's not enough money to buy her a new dress. No, you get into those kind of situations. And if you're not careful, you'll allow the devil to come in at that time and say, you married the wrong person. Yeah, you married the wrong person. You made a mistake. Never.
Amen.
The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And the soul of a believer, you know, no. There must just be something deeper in marriage than what I thought that there is. Marriage must have more of a deeper purpose than I'm giving it credit for. Marriage isn't just, you know, for us to live together. We have our relations together. We have our children together. You know, we go on holidays together and all of that. There must be something deeper in marriage. And if we start to discern that, that for God to put His daughter in the closest relationship that there is in this life. Remember, we read it just now in Genesis when the Lord said, a man must leave his father and his mother. The relationship between a parent and a child is a very close relationship. But God says there's something close that you must leave your father and your mother to be joined to your wife, and you become one flesh. You never said you'll be one flesh with your children. But you're to be one flesh with your wife. You know, so for the Lord to put two people together, to say, I want you people to be one flesh.
Amen.
We've all learned, it's not just going to take care of itself.
Amen.
The job just doesn't get done on its own. It's like I'm saying with the stature of a perfect man. God will play His part. He'll give opportunity. He'll give circumstances. That then we have to respond.
Amen.
We have to be disciplined. We have to work at it. We have to understand and discern what it is that needs to be done.
Amen.
And that many times is going to involve sacrifice.
Amen.
Self-sacrifice on our behalf. And so to understand this relationship. And what are we trying to do? When you first meet somebody, yeah? You're mainly just connecting in the realm of the human spirit, emotional. There's a lot of physical attraction, yeah? A lot of physical. But, you know, your spirit and that person's spirit, they're not one yet. There's so many things you don't understand about that person. And only when you get in the home, and life starts throwing these things at you, then you'll start finding that you have baggage you've brought along with you, and she's got baggage that she's brought along with her. And you've got habits and customs and ways you do things that she doesn't really appreciate. And she's got things that she does that you don't really appreciate. It's all in the realm of the human spirit. But surely, saints, we've got to be working through this now. We've got to be working through, because you wanted to get it where? Closer and closer. So that we're really connecting in that realm of the emotion. That I understand her emotional needs. I'm ministering to them. She understands my emotional needs. She's ministering to them. And then we can say, we're being a helpmeet to one another.
Amen.
Because the very purpose that Eve was given to Adam was to be a helpmeet. To make him more effective in his life. So he had these needs. And imagine this. Jehovah himself looked down on Adam and said, Adam, you've got needs that I in myself, I can't minister to those needs. I'm going to have to give you a wife. Because only the wife can minister to those needs. My. That's right. We can be super spiritual and still have problems in the home. Like Billy Paul. Yeah. We can be blessed in so many other areas of our life, but be failing with our children. Be deficient in the way we bring in up our children is because we're not connecting in this realm.
Amen.
In this emotional realm. Because maybe the way you as a father were brought up, no, you were brought up in the military barracks. Now your dad was the 5-star general, and when he said jump, you said how high while you were in the air. That's the way that it was. But now you've got children that God gives you, and their temperament and makeup isn't like that. They don't respond well to that kind of an approach. And you're going to be saying, but it worked for me. If it worked for me, it'll work for them. Yeah. My dad did it to me and it never did me any harm. Yeah, because your wife will be trying to tell you, it's not working. It's not working. This emotional health is not being ministered to here. And the problem is when children get to a teenage years and you haven't ministered properly to the emotional health, they go looking elsewhere. And then you wonder why they get into drugs. And why she starts having a relationship when she's 13 with a renegade at school. Because he's offering her things that you didn't give. She's got a deficiency inside of there. She's got a need emotionally here. Her emotional health in that particular aspect. It's needing you to minister into it. But you're not looking at her as an individual. You're not seeking the wisdom and grace of God. You're not communicating enough and trying to get what's within the veil to contact the spirit of that person to say, what does he need or what does she need? And friends, every one of us as individual has our fingerprint.
Amen.
We're all totally individual here.
Amen.
So there's no one size fits all. No, there's no that it worked for somebody else, so it's going to work for me. We can glean principles. We can glean. Yes, we must. But it's very individual. So individual. And that's why God made the relationship so close that you live together in the same home with your children and you sleep in the same bed with your wife. You're so close like that. Yeah. God's made it so close and so personal because it's such a personal thing. I don't live with your wife. I don't. Which means that there's a certain aspect, yeah, in her development in what she needs that I can't help her with. Otherwise, if God loved her and God loved me, he would have put us together. But the fact that he put her with you means that God knows that you are the one that can minister into that part. And nobody else can. Otherwise, he would have allowed polygamy right from Genesis. But God says, no, one man, one wife. So friends, if we believe in predestination to a believer, there's no talking of defeat.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
You say, no, 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 Lord, you helped me to overcome in the days of my youth. You helped me to overcome the world. You helped me to overcome in the days of, in the faith, you helped me to overcome many things. I've overcome sickness. I've overcome all these other attacks of the enemy. Now there's one realm of overcoming that's required.
Amen.
And that's in my home.
Amen.
And friends, that's the final frontier. Because you are who you are in your home. Like I said the other week, when you see me here, you don't really know who I am. But my children know who I am. And even more than that, my wife knows who I am. She knows the real me. You know, I don't know the real you. You don't know the real me. You know, our relationship, it comes to a certain realm. We're interacting in certain places according to a divine purpose. But this one here of the marriage, friends, it's a deep one. And of your relationship with your children, it's a deep one. And the thing is, we only get one chance. Only one chance. You mess up with your children, you don't get another opportunity. you mess up your marriage as a believer, it's until death us do part.
Amen.
Yeah? You mess it up. Especially for a woman. According to the scripture, according to the message, there's absolutely under no circumstances can a woman marry again when she has a living husband. Absolutely none. That's a quote from the prophet.
Amen.
So we have to be careful, friends. We really do. We need grace. I realize that. Now, when you're speaking to different people and different things you go through inside of your life, that's when I went back to this. I went back to this. I'd been looking at this some years back about these different languages of love that people speak to. I've spoken to many people about it when people are in different situations. And I said, no. You're not understanding your husband the way he expresses love to you. You'll find that somebody will have a home. Yeah? And to the husband, he's the acts of service kind of person. That's another language of love. You know, for someone to really, really express love to him, or for him to express love to somebody else, he wants to do something for that person. You find Brother Beckett, when you speak to him, he's that kind of a person. He wants to give somebody a card. He wants to clean out the fridge for his wife early in the morning. You know, he wants to be doing something to express his love. That's his way of, maybe his primary way of expressing love to the people that he loves. By doing things for them. Not everybody's like that. No. So maybe now you think, let me show my wife how much I love her by doing these things for her. And she's the kind of person, and the way she expresses love is by spending time with you, by investing her time. Yeah? She wants to spend quality time. No, she wants to give the best of the time to you so you can sit down together and talk and spend that time together and bond together. So you come home from work, you the sort of a guy who wants acts of service. So you're thinking, when I get home, my wife's going to have the house nice and neat and tidy. And you get home and the house isn't neat and tidy. And then your wife comes up to you and says, let's spend some time together. You see, she's wanting to express love to you. But you're not understanding her language. And your language is, but if you love me, you'll tidy up the home. Friends, it's very practical, friends.
Amen.
And that's where now we have to start understanding each other. Say, okay, we're not connecting here somewhere.
Amen.
We seem to have incompatibilities here, but why? We're misunderstanding how to contact one another's spirit.
Amen.
How to really, really minister to that person in a way that's meaningful to them. Because what's meaningful for me may not be meaningful to her. No, it doesn't mean much to her. Like me, I'm not the... You can give me presents. I really do appreciate presents, but they don't really touch me that much. But if you say something nice to me, friends, you've made my day. For weeks after that, I'll be remembering what you said about me. I'm made in that, you made in your own kind of a way. Some people, it's words. It's that affirmation using words. Now, that's so important to them, for someone to come and tell them, I love you. You know, they want, you need to hear that, all that. And you'll find it in your spiritual life. It'll reflect as well. Now, by the things you read and the things that you listen to. Because inside of your spirit realm here, now, there's something that needs to be ministered there. You know, when you're trying to eat the rubber off the bicycle, it shows there's something that's needed inside of the realm. You know, so you're always looking for that kind of a thing. And there's other people that, you know, if you give them a gift, it's the most precious thing to them. No, you'll give your the child like a gift, and for the rest of their life, you give them a little something and carry it in their pocket. And they say, my dad gave me this. Yeah. They'll never forget that. It's like it's a love token to them. That's so important to them, that. And you might try to do many other things to really connect with them and show your love to them. And if you don't understand that's the way they understand things, they'll think you don't love them. They'll think, but if you really love me, look. You know, other people's dads give them things. But my dad doesn't give me these kind of things. You know, it's like that. And friends, I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. It's a real, real key element. So next week you want to look at the practicalities of what are these different ways of connecting? How did God wire us up? There's five different categories. Just as much as when you look at temperaments of people, you know, there's no one size fits all. You've got sanguine people, you know, the life of the party, you know, the people that speak before they think and all that. You know, and then you have your phlegmatic people, you have the diplomats, Abraham, the peacemakers. Now the people don't want strife, like Brother Jose, those kinds of people. Very nice kinds of people, you know, very peaceful kinds of people. You have sanguine people like Brother George. You know, they talk, and it's very good. That's the way that God made them. You need those kinds of people. You know, they'll just be, if there's silence in the room, they're the one who'll always break the silence. You know, they'll always be the one to talk. Then you have the choleric kind of people. You have the dictators. Yeah? You know, the pioneers of life. Those kinds of people, they've got a vision and a goal. Woe unto you if you stand in the way of their vision and their goal. Don't get in the way of them when they've got their agenda set, because not even God himself is going to change my agenda. No, you get your choleric people, but you need them, because Paul was a choleric, and when he became a Christian, he was like that. You could beat the man, he comes back and preaches again. The more you gave the man a hard time, the more determined he was to get the job done. No, you need that kind of a character inside of people. Then you need your melancholies, like the prophet, the musicians, the artists, the moody kind of people. Now the people that in such an inspiration one day, and you're with them and they're so full of inspiration, and the next day there's a dark cloud over them. They're down in the valley. They go from the peaks to the troughs very, very easily. They're the people that rise up and catch an inspiration like the prophets, and they come down and they want to go and throw themselves in the river. Like who was the man who wanted to commit suicide? No, so you've got all these different temperaments. So your children are going to have those temperaments and a mix of those temperaments in them. And the way that you deal with one isn't going to work for the other one. Because if you have a choleric child, yeah, the one who's really, it can be a stubbornness, they're going to need to be disciplined in a different way than if you have a child who's a phlegmatic, like Abraham, who's a peacemaker, doesn't want trouble at any cost. No, that child will, you know, the moment you just look at them like that, they're already saying sorry, because they don't want conflict. They repent quickly like that. You know, so you don't have to treat them all the right way. You've got to understand who they are, who God made them. And the same now in our relationships and expressing our emotional love to one another. We need to start to really discern and understand, but who really is my wife? Now sometimes you need to stop and think, maybe, you know, I didn't do that for a while. You just take it for granted, your wife's your wife. Then you stop to think, but who actually is my wife? What makes her up? What makes her tick? Our friends. And then you can start seeing, but I've been a dunderhead. Sometimes by trying to approach things and wondering why she didn't respond to this or respond to that. When that's not the way that God made her. She's not made to respond like that. But if I can now change my approach, yeah, and really seek His grace and start now to minister to the place that she needs to be ministered to, something's going to take place there. So to understand this, we need to understand the difference again between agape and filial love. Agape love is divine love. We know that. But filial love, it's more brotherly love. It's the love of emotions. It's the love of the affection. So the vast majority of your love in your home, for your children, for your wife, is going to be filial love. This is emotional love. But it's a different kind of love than agape love. So filial love, according to the Bible dictionary, filial love denotes personal attachment. So in filial love, you find something in somebody that attracts you. You like a certain quality in somebody. Therefore, filial comes up. Or that person treats you in a certain way, yeah, that really ministers inside of your emotional realm. And the natural response to that is filial love. Filial love is a response. It's a response when you say the right thing to somebody, in the right atmosphere. Yeah, that person goes away and you've like filled up their tank a little bit of filial love. Filial love is a love called out of one in response to the feeling of pleasure or delight which one experiences in another. You know, so if you are not ministering to the place that your children need to be ministered, or you're not ministering to the place your wife needs to be ministered, the filial love starts to run out. Because filial love doesn't take care of itself. Filial love is a response. The way everyone went quiet there, I can see that people are thinking deeply. But it's important, this friends, that filial love doesn't take care of itself. Just as much as your fuel tank doesn't take care of itself. Use the car, it's going to run out. And you're going to have to go and fill up the tank once again. The same in relationships. You know, hardships can come. Things can come. Yeah, the love can start to go dim. Yeah, that filial love, it's not as real as it was before, because there's nothing in the relationship anymore for that love to respond to. So it can't grow. Although you're trying your best to get that person to love you more, but you're not connecting the right way. So nothing is happening inside of there to build up the filial love. My. And with your children as well.
Amen.
Yeah. Your children don't just love you for nothing. If you're hard to your children for year after year, they're going to end up hating you.
That's right.
Just being a father doesn't give you any right to expect your children to love you. They don't have to love you just because you're a father. They have to love you because you've ministered to that realm that makes them love you.
Amen.
You've met a need. You know, and they say, but my dad went out of his way. He sacrificed. And he did that for me. Surely it shows that he thinks about me. My, that shows me that he loves me. Then he comes back. Daddy, I love you. Thank you for doing that for me. But there's different ways of expressing it, as we'll see. So this filial love is brotherly love. That's the word, Philadelphia. From filio, from the church ages. Philadelphia, brotherly love. It comes from that. Now, in every relationship, we need a lot of filial love. But filial love in itself isn't sufficient. We need agape love. Because once the honeymoon comes to an end, yeah, and we start bashing heads a little bit in the home and realizing that maybe there's some behaviors that you never expected, or you know, certain attitudes or certain things are happening in the home in the other person that you never expected, you know, when that emotional love, that chemistry of love starts to dim down and you get into that kind of a situation, there's going to come a lot of opportunity for filial love to drain out of the marriage. And at that kind of a time, like I say, you're at decision time. You either give in and say, leave it like that. If that's the way marriage is, I'll find satisfaction somewhere else. Or you separate, let me go and see if I can find what I'm looking for somewhere else. Or the correct way, you allow agape love to kick in now.
Amen.
Because agape love is selfless love.
Amen.
Agape love is love that gives, expecting nothing in return.
Amen.
That's what it is. God is pure agape love. God so loved us when yet we were unlovable. He expressed his love to us when there was nothing in us to make us lovable. And then when he expressed his love to us, we now responded by loving him. You see how the response came in. But agape love is not conditional love. Filial love is conditional. Filial love will continue to grow and to thrive and to grow brighter and stronger, express itself more, as long as you're taking care of it under certain conditions. As long as you're feeding that in somebody, as long as you're ministering to that, as long as you're taking time out to say there's a fundamental need here, that this is what I really want to do for my children. This is what I want to do for my wife. Now that love, that filial love will continue to grow. Agape love has no conditions. Agape love just loves because it loves. Agape love is love of the will. It's a choice. It's the love of choice. Filial love is the love of emotion. It's the love of feeling. You don't feel you love somebody anymore. But agape love doesn't need the feeling.
Amen.
Agape love is you make the decision. I love my wife.
Amen.
Even if things are hard, sickness and in health, richer or poorer, but I love my wife.
Amen.
I love my child, even though my child is going astray.
Amen.
Agape love overrules filial love.
Amen.
Agape love will say, I choose to love my son.
Amen.
That's my son and I'm not letting go.
Hallelujah.
That's my daughter and I'm not letting go. There's a difference in agape and filial love. So we need both of them. But agape love in itself doesn't minister to the complete person. In the realm of the human spirit, you need filial love. We are people that need fellowship. Otherwise, why did God give Eve to Adam? Adam was in a realm of perfect agape love. But he was a threefold being.
Amen.
He was a body, a soul, and a spirit.
Mm.
So God ministered to his body, gave him all the trees of the garden except for the tree of knowledge. God ministers to his soul. God is his all in all inside of his soul. But when God looks now to minister to his spirit, the realm of his emotions, God gives him a wife. God gives him a wife. It is. It's a powerful principle, right? And it's a very, that's why I'm not saying, not going to jump and shout today. I just want to say a little bit quietly, because it's very important, because I realize that myself. And I realize that we need that. We need to realize this. We need to realize, and not only in a relationship, like I say, with husband and wife, but relationships with one another. Because every relationship has a honeymoon period. And then comes misunderstandings. Then you realize that, let's say I'm friends with Brother Greg, we're doing a lot of things. Brother Greg thinks, ah, this is so good. Brother Andrew does all these things and that. And then one day I let him down. And then one day he starts to realize, but hey, this man's not perfect like I thought he was. Every one of us have our idiosyncrasies, our quirks. Every one of us have our back parts. Yeah, and at that time now, we have to be careful how we handle the relationship. Amen. We can either look at it and get frustrated. And we can start to fight back and say, okay, if you're going to be like that to me, you let me down. Next time you ask me to do something and see what I do to you, I'm going to let you down as well. And instead of forgiveness, we get into revenge. And there's no redemption in revenge. There's no way. Saints, filial love requires intimacy to grow. So that's why if I'm wanting filial love from my wife, or my children, I can't demand it from them. Because a demand has no intimacy. Amen. I can't say, I want you to do this for me and you'll make me happy. And then the person doesn't want to do it. Okay, and they do it for me and I think it's going to give me filial love. It doesn't work like that. Filial love needs intimacy. So it's going to need me, if I have a need inside of myself and I see my wife, she doesn't realize my need. She's trying her best, but she doesn't realize. It's going to need me now to unveil myself.
Hallelujah.
Now this is sacred sands now. Now we have to be careful on this one here. Because maybe there's a certain area of my life and it's a very sensitive part of my life. It's very important to me, but I can see, but it's not so important to her. She doesn't realize how important this area of my life is. The only way we can now connect in the spiritual realm is, I've got to let her know that. But it's going to have to be careful how I let her know. Because if I let her know in the way of demanding or criticizing her to say, why is it you never understand the way that I am? Yeah? Such and such. How come you don't understand how important this is to me? Other people understand how important it is. The brothers in church understand how important it is. You don't understand how important it is. And you think now you're going to have a connection. You're not. You've got to say, but this is sacred sense. And when now, on the other hand, someone starts now to unveil themselves to you, to start to show you a little bit deeper of what's really, really important to them, you don't just want to blunder in with gumboots. You know? You don't just want to walk on sacred sands.
Amen.
You need to discern and realize, but let me be careful here. Because this is important to this person.
Amen.
This person's trying to express something to me which is important to them. I can sense it. I can feel it. Therefore, let me not just jump in quickly with my normal 1, 2, 3 answer that I give to those situations.
Amen.
But let me try to contact that person's spirit. Let me try to understand. Let me be careful here. Or if your child is coming, because friends, we don't get too many opportunities at this. Because when you try to unveil something, tell somebody something precious, and they dismiss it, or they take it lightly, or they give you some flippant answer, next time you're not going to do it. You're going to be very, very reluctant to do it again, because you've taken something precious to someone that they didn't want, and now it's a sensitive part inside of your life. So now you just keep it to yourself. And that's where we make our mistakes in marriage. We fail to discern those times when there's like an emotional cry for help. When the person's wanting to show that, look, Greg, I appreciate you going to church, Greg, but I need you as well. You know, it's fine if you're going out to all these other people and that, but I'm your wife. I've got 2 young children. I need you, Greg.
Yeah.
It's fine that you're doing overtime and you give me a lot of money, but I don't want things. I want you. Maybe the person's trying to express that.
Yes,
no. Maybe you work all your life like Steve Jobs. Yeah? And then you bring in Walter Isaacson to write your autobiography and you say, I want my children to understand what I was doing all this time. My friend, you might make that man, put him on the front cover of Time magazine, but in heaven, God doesn't esteem that 1 inch.
That's right.
God doesn't esteem fatherhood like that. Because in this life, what's important isn't achievements, it's relationships.
Hallelujah.
The most important thing in life are your relationships, not your achievements.
Hallelujah.
And if you are sacrificing your relationships for your achievements, you are not following the Spirit of Christ.
Hallelujah.
You're not following the Spirit of Christ.
Hallelujah.
The most important thing to God is His relationships.
Hallelujah.
He was willing to forsake His throne, willing to forsake glory, to come down to establish a relationship with us. He'll do anything for us. He'll sacrifice anything for us to keep us in the relationship with Him. And friend, that's got to be foremost, surely.
Amen.
But we as husbands, some of us are made in a way that we think, I'll work, never spend time with my wife, and then I'll take a 1 month of the year for a holiday. Many husbands like to do that. And the wife maybe is made in a way she doesn't want that. She needs an arm around her. She needs a sensitive word. She needs some understanding on a daily basis. It's about you thinking for yourself, because that's the way that you wired up, that I'm ministering to the needs of my family. And then when she now approaches you and unveils something, she wants to say, but you hardly ever home with the children. How do you expect the bills to be paid? Yeah. Don't you appreciate all the things that I do for you? I bought you this and I bought you that and I bought you the other. And you're not connecting. And then she now, what does she do? She goes within the veil now. And she's even scarred more there. And then she withdraws. And there was an opportunity now for filial love. Because she's expressed something for you. And if you could have just ministered to that, it would have built filial love. Because filial love responds when it's responded to. And instead of an opportunity for the love to grow, you poured water on it. And you've done damage. That's why, friends, sons of God need to be led by the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
We really need grace in every relationship that we have. Relationships are precious things.
Amen.
And sometimes you only realize how precious when we don't have it anymore.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I read of somebody the other day when his wife left him. Then he realized how precious his wife was to him. But it was too late. He had taken advantage, taken it for granted for too long. I don't want it to be like that. Or when your children go the way of the world. Yeah. And then you think, but hey, I should have spent more time with my children. I should have connected with them. I should have really tried to understand who they were in the veil. What did God make them as individuals? Not just statistics. Not just like I'm saying a one size fits all. But I did this for them and I did that for them. That's fine. But friends, every single one of us, we have emotional needs. We have things that we want to enter into fellowship with somebody else about. Certain things that we need someone to come and sympathize with us. Someone to come and understand. Someone to come and have a fellowship with us. And even if that person isn't in that situation, but you know, to enter into that place like of empathy, feeling for us. Eh? And that we can see they're making an effort. They're taking their time. They're trying to understand me. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful statement of love.
Amen.
When somebody is willing to self-sacrifice, sacrifice their time, sacrifice things to come and sit and say, please, this is important. I can see this is important to you. So therefore, it's important to me as well. Friend, when we get down to that place in dealing in our relationships, we're getting somewhere.
Amen.
Now we can edify. Now we can start to build up. Now we can find the union can get closer and closer and closer. And then our souls can now start getting closer and closer and closer. No, we can connect. Sorry, wrong way there. We can get closer and closer and closer. And that's what you're wanting it to be. But it's the spirit realm is the one that blocks it many times. Because this is the fallen realm. It's not like your soul, which is redeemed now, which is in perfection before God. But your spirit, you brought all of this baggage into the relationship. You brought all of these other things. You got all of these little habits and customs and things you bring from your culture. And I'll say it, friends, if your culture contradicts the Bible, reject your culture. Because you might say, but in my culture, the way a husband is, that's got nothing to do with the message of the hour. The message of the hour, we have a unique culture. We have the culture of the word. My father always said, I bet your father wasn't a believer. The way we did things at home, that's fine. You're not at home anymore. You know, now you're living with somebody else. You know, it's understanding that person. But and many times that's a defense mechanism because we've tried to understand somebody, and because you're not understanding them down the right frequency, what happens? They respond back in a way we didn't expect them to respond. And then we take it personally and say, but I tried. And then now we become sensitive. We get a bit of a complex in that area. Yeah. That when she says this, we now sharp with that now. Now we like have an exaggerated reaction. That's what a complex is, to say, but no, but that's not the way that it is. You ask too much of me. You know, all those kind of things that we say. And friends, we can have the two fellows in a ship. But unless the two fellows in the ship are starting to connect in that realm, there's no fellowship.
Amen.
You know, there's no brotherly love. There's no friendship love. You know, and that's what filial love is. It's friendship love. So you're building a friendship in your marriage. You've gone beyond just the romantic side, yeah, which is good, that must continue. You've gone beyond just the physical side, I mean, that must continue. But it's the friendship now.
Amen.
It's establishing a friendship now. That's what filial love is. It's friendship love. It's the love of a relationship now with somebody. Let's finish off with that kind of a thought as we just push on. So filial love is emotional, basically. Filial love cannot be commanded, but it can be developed. Filial love, this is the Bible dictionary says, is based on the qualities in another person. So if I want to see my wife love me more with filial love, I've got to display some qualities which will bring that love out of her. You know, so maybe the qualities, I might have some good qualities, but they're not really the qualities that she needs me to express to her at that time. Therefore, it doesn't stimulate filial love. But if I can express certain qualities, and she says, but that really helped me. You know, you get up early in the morning, you do something in the home, maybe if it's like that, you help your wife on something else. You know, whatever else that it is. You know your circumstances. You get sensitive before the Lord and ask the Lord. You speak to your wife and try to find out, what is it that you really, really would want of me in this relationship? What is the deepest thing? And friends, be prepared for some criticism.
Yes, sir.
Be prepared that sometimes it will come out a little bit harsh because maybe the pressure has been building up in there for quite some time. And the person's been looking for the opportunity to express it, but you cut them off all the time. Now sometimes you try to say something really important to you, to somebody else. It's like Brother Biskel was saying that when you're in Canada. You're saying, when we're in Switzerland, he said, I was speaking to somebody about the experience with the angel of the Lord in the car. He says, and they said, oh, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, you know exactly what he means. Were you sitting there when the pillar fire came down and you almost died in the car? But we sometimes do that. When someone's trying to tell us something precious, we're too quick to say, oh yeah, I know what you mean. Now if you knew what that person meant, they wouldn't be saying that. Because you would have already ministered into that situation in their life. And they wouldn't be needing to speak about that anymore to you. But the very fact they're trying to bring it up to you shows you haven't understood what they've meant. You thought you understood, but you didn't. And that's what causes now the filial love to go down. It really, really does. And friends, every single one of us, the prophet says, there's a cry. The world is crying for a little bit of love. That's not just agape love. The world, maybe your children are crying for filial love. They're wanting fellowship love with you. You know, the love of understanding. They're wanting emotional love. Now they're wanting that something that God has put inside of them, something that's missing there, and God put you in their life. You're the only person who can quench that thirst. They're thirsting for it. And when he speaks about parent delinquency, let's be honest though, saints. Parent delinquency many times is the result of parent delinquency.
Amen. Yes.
Your parents were delinquent, so you grew up as a delinquent parent. But we have the message of the hour.
Amen.
Oh, friends, we have, like Brother Max was preaching Junior on Friday, I will restore, saith the Lord.
Amen.
We have a restoration.
Hallelujah.
But you're going to have to really get ourselves involved in these things.
Amen.
We're going to have to. Let's just finish off. So when people fall in love, let's just finish off on this thought. We'll continue next time.
Oh, that's nice.
Amen.
Now, friend, falling in love is the most pleasant experience you'll ever have.
Amen.
Yeah? When you fall in love, there's so many things take place in you.
Yes, sir.
It's chemical, it's hormones, so many things take place. It's one of the greatest emotional experiences that you'll have. And that atmosphere, yeah, that quality of that love when you first start, it's a very emotional love. Like I say, they call it an obsessional love. Because that person becomes an obsession to you. All you can think of is that person. You know, you don't want to go and visit your other friends anymore. You want to go and visit her. Life is suspended because of her. Well, life is suspended because of him. If you've got plans for the weekend to go and do something, then she says, no, my shift's changed. I'm free this weekend. Doesn't matter how much your friends are relying on your car that weekend to give them a lift to go somewhere. All of a sudden, your car's not available anymore. But it's like that. It's an obsessional love. And when you get into that period, and your honeymoon period, you don't see anything wrong in the other person. Other person outside of the relationship will be saying, but yeah. What does she see in this guy? You know? He doesn't even have a job. He's living with his parents and he's 32 years old. But to you, you've never met anybody like this. So you don't see the faults. During the honeymoon period, during the intimacy, the romantic love period, yeah? During that time, that you don't really see that person the way they are. And that person doesn't really see you the way that you are. And you don't behave the way that you normally do. Yeah. You'll find even a selfish person at that time, a stingy person, all of a sudden they'll be generous with their money. And you'd be saying, but hey, that guy, I've been friends with him for years, he never even bought me a Coke. And now look what he's buying for this girl. That's what it does, friends. And we build up all of our hopes on that, saying, I've never met a guy who's so generous. My, this guy's so sacrificial. He'll drop anything to come to my need. And then you get in the home. And then that chemistry of love, it dissipates. And now the reality of who you both are starts to dawn on you. So, but hey, I never expected this to be like this. But friends, that's the time now that real love starts. Amen. What went on before wasn't real love. That's why it could disappear so quickly. But now real love can come, relationship love. Now you can start to build filial love, genuine love, relationship love with somebody. But it's going to need an investment in time. It's going to need an investment in understanding. It's going to need you to be in a certain place that you're willing to do it. And that's why you need some agape love. Because agape love is willing to pay the price. Agape love is willing to sacrifice. Agape love is willing to do something, even if it doesn't get something in return. It'll just do something because it wants to be of benefit to that person. And it brings us, as we close, to the whole purpose of marriage. Now, this thought came about last week when Sister Victoria sent me a little clip from Brazil. It was very good. I sent it to Brother David. It was really very good. And this man was speaking about the purpose of marriage. And he was saying, sometimes marriage seems so hard because we seem to be so incompatible on so many things. We seem to have different desires, yeah? Different aims, dreams, objectives, priorities, ways we leave our washing in the house. Some people, they leave it on the floor. And to you, that might mean nothing. You know, you grew up in a home, lots of children, lots of mess, lots of clothes on the floor. So you get in the home now, you leave your socks on the floor. But they didn't grow up like that. To her, that's important. If he loved me, he'd pick up his socks. And then she says to you, please, why don't you pick up your socks? I've always done it like that. You see, and then she's giving you an opportunity. She's opening up something that's important to her because of the way she is. But you don't see it because that's the way that you've always done it. Other brothers don't pick up their socks. You see, and that instead of an opportunity, now you've closed the door. You see, and it becomes now something that drains the filial deeper and deeper from your experience. It gets worse and worse like that. But now you can start to develop a relationship now. When you get into that stage and you decide to say, okay, I want this to grow into what it's supposed to be. Like the man was saying, he says, what is the purpose of marriage? He said, the overall purpose that God has for each and every one of us, according to Romans chapter 9, I think it is 10, is for us to be Christ-like.
Amen.
To be conformed to His image.
Amen.
So everything that happens in our lives, including marriage, is an opportunity for us to be more Christ-like.
Amen.
And the man was very good. He says, so, if God wants you to be more Christ-like in showing mercy, He's going to have to put somebody close to you, maybe, that's going to need some mercy. But if you look at it from the humanistic side and say, well, how can she behave like that? Ah, this, that, and the other. And you fail to raise up higher and say, but God, what is your purpose here? Why have you put me close together with someone who seems so different to me? It's so that you can become more like Christ, and so she can become more like Christ. So that you can show unconditional love when it's needed. You can start taking the burden of that person. You can start trying to understand the person even when they're wrong. You can show forgiveness, because forgiveness needs to be shown. Friend, there's no relationship, if you think about it, which gives a greater capacity for you to be molded more like Christ, if you're willing, than marriage.
Amen.
That's why it's a type of Christ and His bride.
Amen.
It's a mystery of marriage.
Amen.
It's not just for you to live in the same home and have children. But there's a spiritual purpose as well. Your spiritual purpose is like Christ. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
And gave Himself for it.
Amen.
No, so the husband is willing to sacrifice for his wife, not just financially, but friend, to really get down to where she is.
Amen.
To say, look, whew, I've always thought I was right on this. I may not understand this, but let me sacrifice my understanding, my feelings, and let me try to understand her here. And to sit down in the right, in the coolness of things, and to ask her, say, please, I don't really understand this. Please explain it to me. And you've asked with intimacy. You've asked in an atmosphere. You're trying to say, I want to enter deeper in to understand you in that realm. And if that person now also wants to develop the relationship, they realize, aha, it's never been like this before. I can see he really wants to understand. So they're not going to just criticize you or judge you for what happened before, but say, okay, let me try. And they start now to express a little bit deeper. They say, I never understood that about you. I'm sorry, we've lived together all of these years. I never understood that was so important to you. I'm really sorry that I was such a fool. And from there now, there's a conscious decision. Agape love is the love of choice. You choose to say, I'm going to change here. If picking up socks is important to you, I'm going to pick up my socks.
Amen.
Yeah. If going with her to the shops, which to me, one of these days, I'll really be spiritual when I can go with my wife to the shop. I haven't gone to the capstone yet of being able to spend much time in the shops. But, but if her going to the shops is important, then she wants to be with me in the shop. Friend, to sacrifice yourself. But I know you as well. So it's a man thing, you see. But I'm sure you can understand my point on that. Is that, friends, it needs a sacrifice. You need to be willing to make an effort, an endeavor, you know, to take some pain, to bear some suffering, to say, I don't really like it, but it's important to her. And then by you doing that, because of the way she's made, that generates love. Filio, because there's a response in her, because it's pleasing what you've done in that area that God has made her like that. And then you start finding it becomes relationship now. You're developing into a relationship. You're starting to understand each other. You're starting to bear one another's burdens. You're starting to become closer and closer, conformed in the realm of the spirit, the emotional realm. You're ministering to her emotional health, not only her spiritual health, but her emotional health as well. She's ministering to your emotional needs, the reason God put you together. Friend, surely it's got to come to a stage that that marriage becomes so time-tested that it becomes a time-tested memorial of God. That all the devils in hell cannot shake that marriage. That's the kind of marriage surely that we want. That's the marriage every one of us is called to. Because we're living in the season of restoration. He's given us all the resources that we need. But the prophet says concerning divine healing, he says if you don't approach it the right way, you won't get healed. It's the same as on this one. If you don't approach this the right way, you find things just get worse in your home. But once you start getting the fundamental understanding of the correct approach, one provided approach to these things, I do believe it becomes a revolution. I believe it's something that will change the way you look at your marriage. It'll change the way you look at your spouse. It'll change the way you look at yourself. Because you'll start seeing that God has entrusted you with someone precious and put them in a precious relationship with you. And God has entrusted you to that person as well. And you start looking at that great sacred responsibility. And I believe, friends, if you take it from there, next week we'll look at some practical things and build it up step by step. I believe that God will fortify. God can restore. Even if it seemed love was dead, love can kindle once again. Even if it seems the honeymoon was over, you can now start saying like the prophet, let's keep the honeymoon going. Because you're keeping the love alive. I'm sure that's your desire. Because that's my desire. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship. You know, if you're married, just really be asking yourself as you come to pray, saying, Lord, I need wisdom here. I don't want to just blunder into these things, but Lord, you lead me.
Hallelujah.
Let me be sensitive. And let me follow your leadership. Let me seek for the right opportunity. When the waters are troubled, let me step into the waters. But Lord, I'm not going to move until I hear the sound in the middle of the tree. Show me what it is that I should do. And may the Lord help step by step as we build things up.
Please, Lord, show me the way.
Said I am
down. Show me the way, show me the way. Lord, I need you to be my guide, show me the way. Said I am, I'm down here, Lord. I am your child, you died for me.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I
Won't you take me back? Take me back, dear Lord, to that place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first been. One more time, please take me back. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to that place where I first received you.
If there's anybody that would be courageous enough upon this day to raise their hand and say, I've been missing the mark.
Hallelujah.
I've been missing the mark as a father.
Amen.
I've been missing the mark as a mother. I've been missing the mark as a husband. I've been missing the mark as a wife.
Amen.
But as from today, I want to take the divine resources
Hallelujah.
Of the word. I want to take the revelation of the word. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against that.
Amen.
And I want to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word of God. And I'm going to face up to this situation, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to be intimate. I want to be
Amen.
Sought. I want to listen to what they have to
yes,
say.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I want to change my approach today. Lord, I've been stubborn. I thought the old approach was the way. It was my way or the highway. But Father, today I realize my wrong.
Amen.
I realize that this wasn't your provided way. That, Lord, I'm approaching something so sacred, but I'm approaching it the wrong way.
Mm.
I was sincere, Lord, but I was sincerely wrong.
Mm.
Won't you help me now, Lord?
Amen.
Give me a one more time. Give me
yes,
a one more
Lord.
Time with that wayward child.
Hallelujah.
Give me a one more time with
Amen.
My husband.
Amen.
Lord, to somehow connect with him once again. To my wife, Lord, lead and guide me, Lord. May she entrust me once again to open up those sacred sands to me. And Lord, this time, by your grace, I'll be more sensitive in the way that I approach those things, Lord. If that's your desire, let's raise our hands to
him. Hallelujah.
And let's pray to him now. Let's seek his face. Let's call upon his name. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for our youth. Let's pray for our young ones, our children. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the ministry. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's come before him and put ourselves in prayer before we go. Let's all pray. Oh, Father.
Father, we thank thee.
Oh, Father, as we stand in your presence, Lord, we just acknowledge our need of thee upon this day. For each and every one of us, Lord, Father, would acknowledge this need, Lord. Father, we think of relationships, Lord, with other people. That, Father, we never discerned how important something was to them because it wasn't so important to us. And, Father, we miss such opportunities, Lord, to bond together in brotherly love. Lord, we look in our
Hallelujah.
Homes. We look in all these things, Lord. And, Father, we just come now and we say, Lord, let these things be stepping stones. Father, let the mistakes of the past be stepping stones to each and every one of us, Lord. Let them not be stumbling blocks to anybody. But Father, you take us on. You take us forward, Lord. You help us to be wiser, Lord. You help us to be better equipped. Father, you said in your word that you want, Father, the servant of God to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, Lord. Father, you said that we are your workmanship. Father, created in you unto good works. And Father, we're just reporting for duty once again upon this day. Father, Lord, that we just want to polish the armor up once again. And go out, Lord, into the battlefield, Lord, sometimes so close to home. When Satan would desire to attack our children. When he would desire to attack, Lord Jesus, friendships and relationships, Lord. We see the assault in this age. But Father, we thank you for a raised standard. We thank you for the message of the hour, Lord. Father, we thank you for the mind of Christ. Oh, Father, how we want to put that on upon this day. That helmet of salvation, Lord. That you may think the way that you think and see things the way that you see things, Lord. But Father, in ourselves, we cannot do it. We have the willingness, Lord. We have the desire. But Lord, we need you to minister the grace. Father, in the lives of people where forgiveness is required. Oh, you need to minister the spirit of forgiveness, Lord. Believing that people have a willingness, Lord. But give it unto them, Lord. And Father, where there's complicated situations, Lord Jesus, you are the one, Lord, that can unravel the dark secrets, Lord. You are the one that can restore, Lord. Father, Lord, the dry bones in the valley. That you may speak, Lord. Speak even now, Lord. Breathe upon those dry bones, we pray, Lord. And let them rise up once again as a mighty army, Lord. Father, let homes be repaired is our desire. Let relationships be repaired. And Father, to them that are here, Lord, who have husbands and wives who do not yet believe, Lord. Father, may you better equip them and help them through these things, Lord, to be able to minister in that realm. Father, Lord, to be able to be that something to those people, Lord, that's required to attract them unto you. Father, we all need your grace. We pray for our children, Lord, in a wicked and adulterous generation. Father, we apply the blood upon them upon this day. Father, we pray for our young people. Continue to bless them. Father, continue to stretch out the blanket upon more and more of them, we pray. Father, bless them, and the meetings coming up is our desire. We pray, Lord, for our families, Lord, our married couples, Lord. Father, Lord, you've led us and guided us through many things. Lead us on to perfection now is our desire. That's the prayer, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. Bless each officer, Lord. Father, bless them with your richest blessings, Lord. Father, the ministers, I pray your blessing upon them as well. Continue to take us further, Lord, deeper. In the love of Jesus is our desire, Lord, that you may be conformed closer and closer to your image. Father, Lord, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. So, Father, Lord, establish yourself better in our midst. Bless us as we go from this place. Watch over us in all that we do. Bless Brother Mike and his family, Lord, for their provision as well, we pray. Father, I pray your blessing upon them. And Father, you be glorified now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's sing once more before we dismiss.
Elola, Elohim, how I long to worship you. Elola, 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 Elohim, how we long to worship you.
Where we come,
Lord, we come to you in worship. No matter what,
no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, we will live.
We long, Lord, to worship you, Lord. Elola, Elola, Elola. How we long to worship you. Here we are, here we are. It's a Satan comes to beat us down, but with your spirit here before us, in righteousness we'll rise and say, Elola, 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 we long, Lord, to worship you, Lord. Elola, 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 Elohim. How we long to worship.
Something keeps holding me, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, guide me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, for something keeps holding me, something keeps holding me. keeps holding me.
Oh Lord, you are precious to us. Hallelujah.
Oh, you are so precious to me. Oh Lord, you are so precious to me.
And I love you. Yes, I love you. Just to this day, Lord,
oh, so precious to me, oh my Lord, oh, you are so precious to me,
and I love you. Yes, I love you
because you first love me,
oh, you first love me, Lord,
because you first love me,
my bread of life, my bread of life,
since the trouble seems, when heaven is away, and I see.
Thank you, Lord.
Over me, when the breeze turns into a game,
I know him, I know the master of the world.
Yeah, I know the maker of the world.
He can calm the storm.
Make the sun to shine again. I know the master of
it. Sometimes I soar
like an eagle to the heights
above the peaks. My soul can be found. Expected storm,
revive me from the heights,
brings me low, but river brings me down. I know
the master of the world.
I know my blessed Redeemer. I know the maker of the world.
The sun to shine again. I know the master of the world.
I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the maker of the world. The sun to shine again. I know the master of the way.
Let's sing one as we dismiss. Do you have one there, Virgil?
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you, because of what he decided.
Oh, that was a prophecy.
That was a prophecy.
seja. That is what will produce a great victory in the life of God. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of the Lord. That divine love will live in me. Oh, this path has many, many trials. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. Oh, there is not much time remaining. There is not much time remaining. Oh, to roam in this path. Can already hear the chant. Where they coming for us? Our far beloved ones coming to me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. I will walk this path, no matter what it takes. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will lead me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. That's my desire. That divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me. These are the days of Elijah. Proclaiming the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, and though these are days of the trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow, so we are the voice in the desert, crying, we pray the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun, at the trumpet call of Jehovah. So you have to believe.